This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. London's Mayor Sadiq Khan this week softened his tone over the ride-sharing company Uber. Uber's new CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, wrote an apologetic open letter to Londoners, admitting that the company had made, quote, mistakes after Friday's announcement by Transport for London, or TfL, that it would not renew the company's license to operate in the city. Mr. Khan said he was open to talks between Uber and his city. London is Uber's largest European market, but the company has been accused of being overly aggressive in its approach and failing to deal with sexual assault cases and background checks of its drivers. Ride-sharing companies like Uber are increasingly popular for their ease of use and low fares, but this new economic model that such companies have fostered has hurt the labor force as a whole. My guest is Stephen Hill, a senior fellow with the New America Foundation and a Holzspring Fellow at the American Academy in Berlin. He is a political writer and author of 5 books, and his latest book, Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers, is now out in paperback. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you, Sonali. Great pleasure to be back.
So we had you on earlier in the year when the notorious Uber CEO Travis Kalanick resigned under great pressure. There's a new CEO in his place now who seems to be doing things slightly differently, and we'll get to how he's doing. But let's talk about London. What are London's complaints with Uber?
Well, the complaints have to do with a couple of things. One, it's its general attitude, this sort of very in-your-face Silicon Valley, Ayn Rand-inspired company that has done a whole bunch of things, including, you know, background checks aren't adequate, the amount of insurance isn't adequate. But in addition, when it comes to London, there was actually a London court decision about 8 months ago that basically said that these Uber drivers are in fact employees. They are not independent contractors. And that's a case that is being also fought here in the United States. So on many, many fronts, Uber has gained a reputation in London, as it has in many places in the United States and around the world, as this company that can't be trusted, won't follow your laws, and treats its drivers in a way that tries to skirt the law and not give the drivers the fair deal that they have coming to them. This recent decision wasn't for any one particular thing, but basically the language of the decision was, you know what, you're a company we don't want to deal with. We don't think you're a good player, and we just want you out.
Now, there were apparently dozens of sexual assault cases regarding Uber drivers. There's complaints that Uber doesn't do its background checks as thoroughly as, for example, taxi workers in London have to deal with. What about that aspect of it?
Yeah, that's all been part of it. I mean, Uber, you know, Uber's response often has been, well, bad things happen in taxis too. And so they sort of do this, you know, equalizing, like we're all bad sort of thing.
And they're saying that its background checks are the same as what taxi drivers have to go through.
Well, they try to say this, but in fact, they're not. The United States, for example, most taxi companies, they fingerprint their drivers in order to do background checks, and Uber refuses to do that. So does Lyft. And they claim it's not necessary. The background checks they do is adequate. And yet the FBI has said the type of background checks that Uber does is only about 40% accurate. So, you know, this is an issue that continues to dog this company, has dogged it from the very beginning. And it's just part of the DNA of this company that they refuse to bend to really what's just common sense. Because if states and government officials and customers don't feel safe, you're going to keep running into trouble like this. And that's what keeps happening with Uber.
Let's talk about Dara Khosrowshahi's response. He wrote a letter to Londoners, and he said, while Uber has revolutionized the way people move in cities around the world, it's equally true that we've got things wrong along the way. On behalf of everyone at Uber globally, I apologize for the mistakes we've made. Were you surprised by this tone?
No, this is exactly what Mr. Khosrowshahi has to do. This is what he's being brought in to do, you know, to strike a different tone than the previous CEO Travis Kalanick, and, you know, become more of a CEO that at least projects a face of being cooperative, you know, wanting to work with government officials instead of basically giving them the middle finger. The bigger challenge that he has, however, is that Uber is still a massively money-losing company. It's already lost, you know, about $1.3, $1.4 billion this year. It lost $2 to $3 billion last year. The reason why it's losing so much money is that every time you get into that Uber car, your ride is subsidized by venture capital funders. About 50% of that ride is paid by the passenger. The other 50% is paid by the venture capital subsidies. And this is not sustainable. This is how, you know.
And this is how, of course, they're putting taxi companies out of business.
Exactly.
They're undercutting them. Yeah.
Uber's, they're undercutting taxis. They're trying to gain a monopoly. They're trying to get people hooked on their service. And then once they have a monopoly, they'll have to start raising the price. They'll have to, you know, come close to doubling the price in order to reach profitability. So a lot of people, you know, when they say, oh, I love Uber, it's so affordable. Well, we'll see if they say that once Uber starts trying to get towards profitability. I mean, the subsidy for an Uber ride is greater than the subsidy from most rides in public transportation in most cities.
Wow.
It's a pretty significant subsidy. And, you know, this is just an attempt to get a monopoly by this company.
How have London's taxi industries responded? I know that a couple of years ago, there was a massive protest by taxi workers in London who just blocked streets with their cabs. And they have, you know, obviously lobbied for Uber to have its license revoked because they stand to be the most, the shortest term, the ones who are making the most short term losses with Uber's expansion?
Well, the black cabs in London have mostly just been the opposition. They haven't really done any of the positive things that they should be doing, like getting their own app. Some taxi companies in other cities in the US and in Germany have, you know, gotten an app for their taxi companies so that consumers really like the app. So, you know, the black cabs in London could be doing a lot more in order to sort of drain away some of the justifiable criticisms of black cab. I mean, not only lack of apps, but, you know, the, like many other cities in the United States, there just weren't enough taxis on the street. That's why there's so much demand out there. And Uber has been there to meet that demand. So they really have to figure out, how do you have enough taxis, whether it's an Uber type taxi, black cab taxi, how do you have enough on the streets to service the demand, but not so much that it creates huge amounts of traffic congestion. And that's where Uber's, London's congestion zone should be able to take this Uber technology to track all the different cars and create a rational, sane policy where you can have a certain amount of ride sharing as long as the company is willing to follow the laws on background checks and insurance and all these sorts of things. And you can have black cab. I mean, it's basically the same service, but they're operating under two different types of regulations right now. And that's what really has to change. And that's true also in city after city in the United States.
Now, let's talk about London Mayor Sadiq Khan's approach to this. And I don't know if you would consider his sort of strong stance as a model for how American mayors might respond to Uber, but he's been pretty strong saying you can't have it both ways. On the one hand, Uber's acting in an aggressive manner and threatening all sorts of things. On the other hand, they're briefing to journalists that they want to deal with TfL. TfL being Transport for London, their transportation authority. However, when the CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, apologized, he seemed to say, well, maybe we can talk.
Yeah, I think Mayor Khan has been doing an excellent job on this and with many other things. I really think he's a great mayor. And, you know, he's trying to strike a balance. He understands that there's millions of Londoners and tourists who come to London that use this service. And but on the other hand, he wants responsible companies. He wants to set the tone for how companies are going to act in London. And keep in mind that the UK is going through Brexit. And so there's a great deal of shifting going on right now in terms of companies leaving the UK, leaving London, others trying to figure out how they're going to make it work over the next few years as the UK moves out of the European Union. And so Mayor Khan really wants to lay down the rules and make sure that everybody is going to play by the right rules. And I think that's the right thing to do. You compare that to what's happening in the United States, where, you know, mayor after mayor in most cities has just laid down for these companies, not only Uber, but Airbnb and others. I mean, you know, in San Francisco, where I live, Mayor Ed Lee, he's basically in the hip pocket of Silicon Valley. And Jerry Brown, the governor of California, also is very pro Silicon Valley, to the point where he's allowed bad laws to get passed. For example, the law to regulate ride sharing was passed at the state level. And so now that a city like San Francisco, there is significant momentum to restrict the number of ride sharing cars, because in San Francisco now you have 1,800 taxi cabs and 45,000 Uber and Lyft drivers, and about anywhere from 8 to 9,000 of those drivers are on the streets at any one time. They have literally flooded the streets with cars, badly impacted, increased congestion. So now, you know, you hit the app, you touch the app, the car shows up much more quickly than it used to because there weren't enough taxi cabs, but it takes you 20 minutes longer to get anywhere in San Francisco because the traffic is so bad. But San Francisco can't decide for itself how to limit the number of ride-sharing cars on the streets, because there's a state law that ties the hands of cities. But San Francisco can limit the number of taxis on the streets. So the laws at this point are schizophrenic. They don't make any sense. You have two different types of the same basic service, taxi cabs, operating under different regulations, and that is not sustainable.
And so it seems as though in the United States, we are far more enamored of these sort of tech companies than those in Europe are. I suppose we'll see how the London story plays out. But what would you suggest if you had Mayor Sadiq Khan's ear, having studied this industry and this company in particular? What would you tell Mr. Khan to do going forward if he is going to negotiate with Uber for London?
Well, the first thing I would tell him is that, you know, no matter how good we might be able to make ride sharing, the future of cities like London, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, because of things like carbon emissions and what we know is happening in the environment, the future is still and must be public transportation. You've got to get your public transportation better. I mean, part of the reason why people have gravitated to Uber in the United States is because in most cities outside of New York City, public transportation really isn't very good. And then on top of that, taxi service wasn't very good. So if people were looking for an alternative transportation service, and the lesson here is that if you don't give them a good alternative transportation service, they will take a bad alternative transportation service. So for Mayor Khan and mayors in the United States, I would say the same thing. Make sure your public transportation is the best it can possibly be. Then take that Uber technology for tracking cars and come up with your congestion zone, which London already has, and start tracking how many cars you have in your urban core, in your downtown core at any one time. And you know, we have to share the streets. The streets are a public utility. We can allow and incorporate ride sharing as a different type of taxi, but we also have to have room for regular taxis. We have to have room for private cars, for delivery trucks, for public transportation. We all have to share the streets, and we can't just turn the streets over to one particular company like Uber that wants to basically take over our streets and have everyone get out of their own private vehicles and just use Uber. That's not real world, that's science fiction. It's not happening anytime soon. So we need the right type of regulation and the right type of conversation that's going to help us come up with a sane transportation matrix that serves the needs of urban-based populations. That's what I would tell Mayor Khan, as well as Mayor de Blasio, Mayor Ed Lee, who of course is not listening because he's in the pocket of Silicon Valley.
Stephen, thank you as always for your work. We'll post links to your websites, stephen-hill.com and rawdealbook.com, from our site later. Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thanks so much, Sonali. Always a pleasure.
My guest is Stephen Hill, Senior Fellow with the New America Foundation and a Holspring Fellow at the American Academy in Berlin. He's a political writer, and his latest book is Raw Deal: How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers, now out in paperback. We've been discussing Uber's problems in London. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.